Carla, are we ready?
Yes.
All right, we're back in session. Carla, could you please read item number 23?
Direct the Bureau of Development Services in coordination with the, with Portland Parks and Recreation and Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to conduct stakeholder engagement analysis and develop a proposal to address recommendations made by the Planning and Sustainability Commission and Urban Forestry Commission for trees in development situations.
Colleagues, we now continue our work to strategically strengthen Title 11, the city code that regulates trees. Last month, as you'll recall, we extended 2016 amendments to Title 11 to December 31st, 2024. These amendments strengthen tree preservation requirements, especially preservation of larger sized trees in development situations on private property. At the same time Council took this emergency action, we also heard the need to address exemptions in certain commercial and industrial zones, reducing the critical tree size diameter and a broader Title 11 review. Today, we will hear from representatives of the three bureaus responsible for administering Title 11 about a resolution that will guide this work. My direction has been clear to the bureaus. We must bring legally defensible proposals to strengthen Title 11 and do so as quickly as possible. I've been directing my bureaus to prioritize these areas of work. As a result, bureau staff have changed their workloads so that they can meet these enhanced or these accelerated deadlines. I'm grateful to the bureau staff for working hard to do so. I'd like to introduce an updated resolution with technical changes. These changes clarify the direction to bureaus regarding the analysis the city must do regarding exemptions in certain commercial and industrial zones. The changes also include an earlier deadline for the second analysis regarding critical tree size. We have two versions, one that shows the edits in the track changes and one without. And I want to thank my colleagues for their hard work on this. Commissioner Fritz and I have been running around today and frankly having some fun with this, and I want to thank you for your hard work with this. Commissioner Fritz, would you like to offer up the substitute, please?
I move the substitute.
We have
we're going to tell you what the changes are. I just also, if I might,
please,
just acknowledge Commissioner Udaly was the one who set this ball in rolling, and she and I have been doing some back and forth. We're not allowed to meet all together without, except when we're here, but we are allowed to have conversations, and our staff have been meeting, and so we think we've got to a good place, and we hope you agree.
Yes, and I want to acknowledge Commissioner Udaly as well, and I thank you, Commissioner Udaly, for your hard work and your team's hard work on this. So we have a motion. We have a second for the substitute. Any further discussion on the substitute? Hearing none, call the roll.
Fritz?
This is just to put the what we've handed out on the table, and we'll hear testimony on it. Aye.
Udaly?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Substitute's on the table. Thank you. Sam Diaz will begin the presentation. Good afternoon, right. Sam.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. For the record, my name is Sam Diaz, liaison for the mayor to the Bureaus of Development Services and Planning and Sustainability. So we return to council to present a resolution focused on strengthening Title 11. We have an updated resolution. Thank you for these improvements. And we have hard copies of this resolution for people in the audience right next to Carla to follow along. We'll also be posting this updated resolution on the Bureau of Development Services website. So to explain the resolution, today we have representatives from the Bureau of Development Services, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and Portland Parks and Recreation, our city forester. These bureaus are critical to safeguarding and growing our urban tree canopy. These bureaus are also critically important in bringing to council legally defensible changes to Title 11 as soon as possible. First, so before we get into that, I want to thank the over 130 commenters on the proposed resolution. Mayor, as you directed on December 12th, we posted the draft resolution for public comment on BDS's website, setting a deadline for comment on December 27th. Even amidst the holidays, we received 132 different commenters. We reviewed, categorized, and responded to these comments in the comment and response summary table, which we also posted on BDS's website. During this public comment period, we received many comments in support of a clear resolution that directs bureaus to take swift action to strengthen Title 11. We also received comments supporting the resolution's focus on removing exemptions in certain commercial and industrial zones and reducing the critical tree size threshold. We received many comments supporting revisions to the resolution as well. The majority of these revisions call for earlier deadlines for the bureaus to accomplish the work. The resolution includes deadlines, the updated resolution includes deadlines that represent an estimate for how long each deliverable will require. A number of factors went into this estimate, two of the main factors being current staffing capacity and expertise and state land use requirements, which we will hear about more. We also received many comments for what a broader Title 11 review can include, and these ideas have been shared with Parks and BDS in anticipation of such a review. We also received comments about adequate funding for this work. And while resolutions do not appropriate funding, this resolution does direct the three bureaus to develop clear budget proposals for council consideration so they may accomplish this work. I want to personally thank all of the Portlanders who took time, especially over the holidays, to provide comment on this resolution. And these comments are invaluable. These comments and council's direction have carried forward an urgency and a momentum that bureaus are operating with. Bureau staff have shifted workloads. They have reviewed consultants currently on contract to expedite the work. They have consulted with the city attorney's office to prepare defensible changes to Title 11. In short, they are working together to complete this work with limited staffing and funding, but immense public support. Turning to the resolution language before you, the resolution serves as a work plan to align BDS, BPS, and Parks to prioritize staff time and budget in these focus areas. To strengthen Title 11. BDS, BPS, and Parks shall immediately prepare a proposal to address the exemption of regulations for certain commercial and industrial zones. They will report back with a proposal and an analysis no later than July 7th, 2020, if the legal review and analysis allows them to do so. BPS will share more details about why the city must do this analysis. Again, it is state law, and Joe Zender from BPS is here to explain the process. Second, BDS and Parks shall return to council with a proposal addressing the critical tree size threshold no later than July 7, 2020. Again, if the legal review and analysis shows, we will hear more why. And lastly, BDS and Parks, led by the city forester, shall bring a scope of a Title 11 review to council no later than December of this year. I will turn it over to Emily Sandy with the Bureau of Development Services so she can explain BDS's role in achieving the resolution's outcomes.
Good afternoon. Again, I'm Emily Sandy with the Bureau of Development Services. First, I'd really like to thank Sam Diaz for all his hard work communicating and engaging with the stakeholders and the commissioner's offices and the bureaus during the last few weeks, especially over the holiday season. I'd like to give a brief recap on how Title 11, the tree code, is administered and amended. That will hopefully provide some context for the roles that are defined in the resolution that's before you. Title 11 assigns administration of certain portions of the title to either the Bureau of Development Services or the city forester, who is a part of Portland Parks and Recreation. Simplified, you can think of Title 11 as parceled out into regulations that apply in development situations and those that apply in non-development situations. And similarly, they are differentiated by trees that are located on private property and trees that aren't located on private property, which would include our street trees and trees that are on city-owned or managed sites. Title 11 gives responsibility to the Bureau of Development Services for administering regulations for private trees in development situations. The city forester is responsible for administering everything else. There's a couple nuances, but that's it in a simple summary. As far as amending Title 11, responsibility for coordinating amendments is given to the Bureau that is responsible for administering the portion of the code in question in coordination with other bureaus. Verbatim, what Title 11 says is, substantive amendments to this title or amendments necessary to ensure conformance with other city titles may be prepared by any bureau but will be coordinated by the bureau charged with those responsibilities in the title, in consultation with the bureaus of Planning and Sustainability, Parks and Recreation, Development Services, Environmental Services, Transportation, and Water. Procedurally, proposals for amendments related to trees and development situations are heard by both the Planning and Sustainability Commission and the Urban Forestry Commission, who in turn make recommendations to City Council. Amendments related to trees and non-development situations are heard only by the Urban Forestry Commission, who then makes a recommendation to City Council. Given the roles laid out in Title 11, BDS will lead the first two projects described in the resolution due to their applicability to regulations for private trees and development situations. This will include strong coordination with all bureaus, particularly those at the table with us, with me today. We will be relying heavily on the expertise of our colleagues in BPS and PPNR to conduct an analysis of the impact on industrial lands that will inform us on how to proceed with the recommendations from the PSC and the UFC to remove the exemption for tree preservation regulations for private trees in development situations in certain industrial and commercial zones. BPS will give additional information on that analysis in a few moments. BDS will also lead the second project, which deals with re-examining the regulations for tree preservation of private trees in development situations that were passed in 2016. And as the mayor mentioned, whose sunset date was recently extended to the end of 2024. This will include evaluating the UFC recommendation to reduce the critical tree size threshold in those regulations from 36 inches to 20 inches. It will also include potentially examining whether an exemption from tree density regulations in those same industrial and commercial zones can be removed. They currently apply to tree density regulations, which can be described as a combination of tree planting and tree preservation regulations. Those latter two items were put forth by the UFC and PSC respectively. That project may also include ancillary changes to the regulations for tree preservation. This project will begin in the very near term. I want to note that the resolution directs BDS and the other bureaus to prepare a budget, scope and budget request in the spring bump. We're not waiting for that to begin work. We're focusing on getting through this resolution right now, and then immediately we will start work on that regardless of the outcome of that process. Finally, the third project is a scoping project for a broader Title 11 review. This will be done in conjunction primarily with the city forester, and she will describe more about that later. I want to emphasize BDS has heard from the mayor and the rest of the council and the community about the urgency of proceeding with these projects in a very, very timely manner. And BDS enjoys positive working relationships with all of our bureau partners, we like to think, but especially with the city forester and BPS. And we look forward to working with them as well as all of our stakeholders in moving these projects forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. This is Joe Zender with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, and I'm just going to briefly give you some information on the analysis that we have to do to be able to move forward with code changes like this to meet the state requirements in the case of some of these, and also the timing of what the role of the Planning and Sustainability Commission is. As Emily said, so when tree regulations are in a development situation, triggered by new development on the site, those have to go to the Planning and Sustainability Commission for a recommendation. You have three that are in this list. All three of those, some aspect of them falls into that. First, the exemption for tree preservation for industrial and commercial lands. That's the first one up that we're supposed to get back to City Council with most quickly. Our main focus has been on what's needed to analyze that and defend it in the state land use system for industrial land. Industrial land and prime industrial land is a goal 9 state planning goal protected resource. So all that really means, it means that we can absolutely remove this exemption, but we have to make findings on the impact of the new regulation on the ability to have land and development sites that are reasonably developed to meet our comprehensive plan growth goals. We tell the state that we're going to grow by 147,000 jobs by 2035, and we demonstrate we have the land ready that could possibly do that. When you make a change to a code, you have to go in and see, does it affect the developability of land? Does it reduce the ability to meet that goal, job target? And if it does, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It means that you need to identify how you're going to mitigate for that impact. So in the case here of industrial lands and trees, to the extent that preserving 36-inch and larger trees and the economic cost of that is going to reduce the developability of land, we could initially find that indeed the industrial development could absorb that cost. So then there's not a problem. We could find that there is a problem, but we could mitigate that by creating tree resources offsite or some other way. We could invest in brownfields. There's mitigations that could increase the developability of the land and help overcome the impact of the new regulation. That's all that we have. We have to figure all of that out before City Council can vote on this change. And have that vote be legally defensible in the state land use process. This very issue of trees and this kind of impact on industrial land was the core issue in the North Reach River Plan case, which ended up in appeal at the state remand, and today we still don't have a North Reach River Plan. So we want to make, and actually the state standards on evidence in the record for these cases has gone up since that time. So it's a pretty high standard that we have to meet right now. We want to nail it, win on appeal. We fully expect this to, or it may or may not be appealed, but if it is, we want to win. So there's a certain amount of time and analysis that needs to go in defensively to do that. We have to, so I think I've explained that. At the same time, and that's it's a lower standard or a different standard for the commercial land because it's not a protected state resource. Then what we would just want to be able to do is answer the questions we'd expect from UL and expect from the PSC, which is what's the impact on the cost of development? Like that's probably the question we'd get at because this will be applying to commercial lands in the central city and all of our centers and corridors. Because of the value of that development economically, it's probably very likely that it'll be able to absorb this additional cost, so it wouldn't be an issue. So we see the commercial piece of this differently than the industrial. The industrial is more complicated initially just because it's a state resource. Okay. The 20-inch caliper regulation, which we're also supposed to be reporting on by December, just increases the number of trees. And the tree density requirements adds a requirement for additional plantings on industrial land that isn't there today. All of those in the analysis we're under scoping and preparing to undertake right now, we would do the analysis and try to get back to City Council as quickly as we could with what we're finding, focusing on removing of the exemption first. We've already been in contact with the Bureau of Environmental Services about how to get this contracted quickly using already on-call contractors and started to internally draft up ideas and outline for the scope so we can get rolling quickly.
Just a clarification, the tree circumference or diameter is also coming back in July now rather than December, because we're going to do the analysis together.
To have the chance even to be here in December, Commissioner, we need to do all of this analysis together. Yeah. For us to be able to get here in July, we are filing a commission. We're filing our documents for commission in April. So that's a very short window. An easy to meet window in December, more difficult in July. However, we're confident that the analysis will be underway and we'll be able to report back thoroughly about where we're landing at least. If not, and if we find de minimis impact or mitigatable impact, we'll be back with code. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chair.
Yeah.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Jen Cairo, the City Forester. Portland Parks and Recreation Urban Forestry is the city's tree and forest infrastructure manager. as the Bureau of Transportation is to roads and traffic, or the Bureau of Environmental Services is to wastewater, parks is to trees and the urban forest. Our responsibilities include around-the-clock tree emergency response, tree care and maintenance, tree planting and forest expansion and equity, and education and community engagement, for example, the Urban Forestry Commission. Parks also conducts forest and other analyses to inform plans and policy decisions like city code. Parks Urban Forestry is the entity primarily responsible for implementation of the tree code. We are therefore integral to all three projects and will work closely on them. Parks Urban Forestry will lead the third project, overall tree code review and improvements. This is more comprehensive than the property development situations that are the focus of the first two projects. Parks identified the need for Title 11 resources during the code's first year of implementation, 2015. This was captured in 2016 in our initial evaluation of Title 11 outcomes and the report of the Tree Code Implementation Oversight Committee created by then Parks Commissioner Fritz. Also, the City Auditor's Tree Code Review of 2017. For example, each year, 2,000 trees required by permits, often to replace those that have been cut down, aren't planted for want of code compliance resources. This is a lot of trees. Resources also have not been available for tree code amendments or other policy needs, such as updating the city's urban forest management plan. Therefore, in the 2020 spring bump, Parks will request one ongoing forest analysis and policy position. This person, our Emily Sandy, so to speak, will lead the third project, overall Title 11 improvements, including developing a brief high-level scope of work for council by December 2020. That position will also lead work on other ongoing forest management needs, including updating, evaluating, and performance reporting for the city's urban forest management plan. This is required by city code to be updated every 10 years and is now 6 years overdue. For example, the current urban forest management plan has little or no mention of Portland's environmental justice or climate crisis challenges. This person will also review and contribute improvements to plans, specifications, and policies developed by city bureaus for their forest infrastructure content and impacts. For just a few illustrations, Streets 2035, led by the Bureau of Transportation, the Residential Infill Project and the Climate Action Plan, led by the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, the Stormwater Manual, led by the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Developed Parks and Natural Areas Level of Service Plan and Park Master Plans led by Parks. Finally, this position will also lead development, evaluation, revision, and help plan the implementation of forest management policies, protocols, and specifications. For example, street tree planting specifications, tree procurement standards, and emergency response protocols. Funding in creating this position is essential in order for Parks to meet today's council directives and to manage, preserve, and improve the city's forest infrastructure. Parks Urban Forestry is already working as much as possible on amendments. Other needed work has been sidelined to free up at least some time from existing staff expertise. This includes tracking amendment ideas from all sources and creating certain simpler amendments which council approved, such as changes to the use of the Tree Planting and Preservation Fund in 2018. We'll continue to do as much as feasible while fulfilling our other obligations. Finally, I'd like to thank council for supporting and elevating the city's forest infrastructure. We all literally can't live without trees. Given the notable inequity in tree services to all Portlanders and the climate crisis, the need is now urgent. We're eager to bring council improvements for your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Mayor, Davis,
Are we going to be moving on to public testimony
now?
We are
indeed. Unless you had any questions for the panel.
I just want to thank you for this work on this item. I know that you had to hustle, and it wasn't expected. I understand the high volume of work that's crossing our dais and that we're then sending out to the bureaus. And I don't think that there was any deliberate attempt to not go back and do the work that we committed to doing to the public after Title 11 was created, but it wasn't done. And I'm glad that we caught that, and I'm really happy that we're going to do it now. Thank you.
Very good. I want to thank you all as well. That was an excellent presentation. And for people listening who are not here today to provide testimony, I just want to make a quick announcement. We will accept written testimony until 5 p.m. on Friday on this issue. It's a first reading.
It's the resolution.
That's correct. Okay. I stand corrected. Sorry. Samer, did you have something else in mind?
We can, depending on public testimony, you know, want to give you the opportunity to reflect back. We did reserve February 6th at 3:30 p.m. time certain in case, you know, you hear something, would like to give us additional direction. If there are any critical updates to the resolution that you hear that may not have been thought of. But just wanted to respect your public testimony and also your position.
Well, we're certainly wanting to hear public testimony to get feedback. I know everybody's just seen it. It was, the changes are based on the feedback we've had so far. And so I, for one, do not want to delay moving forward if we can.
Okay.
I don't have a strong feeling either way, but I do want to just thank community advocates and activists for pushing us on this. I neglected to say that sooner. I want to thank Bob Salinger from Audubon for coming to my office and patiently explaining the entire history of Title 11, and also to Joe and our urban forester for giving me your expertise and input. I just want to highlight this as an excellent example of how we really need community to hold us accountable for promises that we've made, and appreciate you.
Very good. Public testimony. Carla, how many people do we have signed up?
We have 15.
Great. 3 minutes each. Name for the record, please.
Okay. The first three, please, coming up are Charles Bertrand Johnson, Edith Gillis, and Bruce Nelson.
Edith, this is a threefer for you today.
I love you.
We love you. Thanks for being here. Do you want to start? Looks like you're ready to go.
My name is Edith Gillis, and I want to say that my maternal grandfather, I was told, developed most of Seattle, was a multimillionaire, and he made more money than his competitors because he saved and protected the trees. He designed developments, roads, buildings, homes to amplify the benefits of trees, and those are the neighborhoods that are bringing the most money to the Seattle city coffers. Trees bring value, and I am concerned that delays in protecting our public life, health, and safety, and prolonging the risk and endangering partners by neglecting our fiscal responsibility for city resources and protecting our trees is losing credibility, cooperation, and teamwork that we need to have with the citizens. I am concerned that this is an emergency. We need to protect the trees and the appearance of impropriety and unequal enforcement. We give less than 48 hours or only 48 hours with no due process for people who are losing all their belongings and their life and safety and being swept, and yet we're allowing months or years for wealthy people to increase their profits. And it gives the appearance of impropriety that can hurt you, Ted, because it looks as if, to some people, that you are delaying the time in which someone could get, before someone would get fined for logging trees, like Schnitzer at Wapato, so that he would then give you bigger monies for your campaign. You don't want to have that appearance of impropriety, so I would like us to speed up this process and be aware that we need to protect the trees. I've worn different hats and had different careers in my life, and one of them is a field biologist and a naturalist and a science teacher. And we need to realize that we have to magnify and increase the whole volume quantity and quality of not only the tree coverage, but also the biodiversity, because at any time we could lose all of our Dutch elm, or lose all of our Western cedar, or lose, you know, a wide group of our trees. These trees are not going to just live like a Douglas fir is not to live alone. A Douglas fir is to be in a community of other trees. It cannot live safely alone. They have to exchange nutrients and information to protect each other from infestation of pests or diseases. So we need to amplify the amount of trees we have and not just have over a bigger amount. We need to speed up that. It's an emergency. And we need to have a greater quality of tree protection and education of the public, as well as having trees on roofs, on eaves, and on walls.
Edith, I'm going to give you a bad fight analogy. And maybe I'm just in a punchy mood today. It's been a long day. But I don't care if I get the first punch in. I want to make sure I get the last punch in. And so the balancing act that we've been doing here is being expedient, being fast, meeting the needs that we've heard from people who gave, I thought, very compelling and eloquent testimony. But I do not want to ignore what legal counsel has been telling us in terms of making sure that when we do this, I want it to stick. And to give you a clear example, I supported all the work that the city council did. Commissioner Fritz was here back in 2015 and 16 when they passed the fossil fuel infrastructure ordinance. But the problem was it got remanded. And now we basically had to wait 3.5 years.
You have a fiscal responsibility to protect us from lawsuits that are expensive,
yes,
and taking staff time away from other things.
I
get that.
Yeah, I know you do. And there's a balancing act that has to happen here. And I believe that this resolution, the substitute resolution, is a very good balancing act that moves this as quickly as we can. And I think we heard that from the staff members who testified. But I also believe that we are strongly protected from a legal perspective. So that's the work that we're trying to do here today. And I appreciate your comments now, and I appreciate your comments earlier today. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Charles Bridge Crane Johnson for the record. And I think that I heard one of the staffers say that they had reserved time on Thursday, the 6th of February, a time certain maybe, but I'm not sure that's clear. If they have, I hope that you'll avail yourselves of that opportunity, even if after the close of public testimony, hopefully we'll have a grand slam near the end, Bob Salinger is in the House from Audubon. Even if you approve the resolution, I think your constituents want to be kept up to date. And by having if it does come back up as a time certain on a future agenda in February or the 6th or whenever, it'd be a great time for you to have some of those great Tableau dashboards you talk about. Once upon a time, the way the city's values were through IT, if you went to www.portlandoregon.gov/smart, it just took you to smart parking. And the days of worshiping cars are over. So now when you go to www.portlandoregon.gov/smart, it talks to you about the whole Smart Cities Initiative. And rather than worrying about the UFC and the DPS and all that, among the things that would be great for you to accomplish by the 6th of February or sooner, is that when we went to portlandoregon.gov/trees, it told us how much great progress we're making on saving trees. Trees everywhere, helping Jordan Schnitzer save the trees up at Bybee Lake /Wapato, making sure Heritage Trees program gets expanded, all the things we need to do to preserve the urban canopy. So if there's one action item that can be accomplished soon, it'd be nice to have portlandoregon.gov/trees help us better interface with the city about tree protection and urban canopy. I'm also curious to hear the other public testimony, not just Bob Salinger, but especially that, so that you'll be well informed and you can either pass this resolution unanimously today or get a second reading on it, whatever the process is from the city attorney. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Bruce Nelson. I'm a member of the Urban Forestry Commission and also on the policy committee for the Urban Forestry Commission. I think I'm going to go a little bit off script, but hopefully it will be appropriate. At this particular time, I think we need to think about joy in our lives. Trees bring joy to all of us, I hope, at different times and in different places. And the work you're doing on the tree code will, can, should bring joy to the city of Portland for many years to come. When a tree is cut down, the city of Portland loses the benefit it gives for 20, 30, maybe 50 years before a tree gets to the size of the one that was removed. So the work you're doing is important, and although I would like it to go faster, it happens. Let's get it done right. Specific to that, I want to make sure that the change on 1150.040 specifically deals with density. The clauses in the tree code that talk about density, because we can't deal with just preservation. If we exclude dealing with density, then that's a loophole that's going to allow the removal of trees. The Urban Forestry Commission and the Policy Committee both hoped that this would proceed faster than it is, but I understand the reasoning for that. Another thing I'm sure you're very aware of, these zones that we're talking about, many of those are adjacent to neighborhoods that have low canopy. Many of these trees that we're talking about are specifically in East County, where there is going to be a whole lot of development going on. You're dealing with a tree code section that specifically talks about development. You're dealing with East County. You're dealing with areas where has not shared the riches of the city. So I appreciate the work you're doing in this. I appreciate the work that staff will be doing on it. I wish it was all happening faster, but yeah, let's get it right. Let's make sure the courts don't mess things up. So thank you very much, and a little joy to all of you.
Commissioner Nelson, thank you very much for your testimony. I had not spotted that the language in the two different resolves was somewhat different, but the intent of addressing the exemption from regulations in the IH, IG1, EX, and CX zones includes the regulations on density as well as on preservation.
Thank you.
So that's I'll just clarify that on the record, but that wasn't intended to not address preservation. Thank you for bringing that up. I mean, density.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next three, please, Carla.
Are Bob Bernstein, Deanna Mueller Crispin, and Catherine Mushell.
Thank you for being here. Would you like to start, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
I'm Bob Bernstein, 50-year resident of Southeast Portland. We are in a drought, or very close to a drought. You know, it's drizzling today, but even if you add part of September's heavy rainfall onto the water year, we're only at 66%. Two summers ago, we had 30 or 31 days above 90. Last summer was still a warm summer because of high overnight lows. Smaller trees, the mitigation type trees, are more susceptible to drought. It makes keeping our mature canopy more and more important. I'd like to see some study as to how well their survival is going, for those mitigation saplings that are planted. I know that Christmas tree farmers have noted losses, and foresters' reforestation efforts have not been as good due to drought situations. When you speak to stakeholders, I get worried. I've been to enough forestry board meetings to see how, if you control the process and the appointments of stakeholders, you control the outcome. And that concerns me. It concerns me that you have some ties to the real estate interests in Portland. So I'm hoping that whatever stakeholder involvement, and I realize I have the opportunity here, as we all do, to speak to you.
Are you speaking to me specifically?
Yes, I'm looking at you.
I'm not a real estate developer.
Your campaign office is being donated by whom?
I get donations from virtually
yes, and I would feel much better.
Industrial
if, and I would feel, and I would. This is my time. I would feel much better if your campaign was publicly financed. That's my point.
Well, that's a difference of opinion, and you're entitled to that opinion.
It certainly is. Okay. Anything else, I would defer to Audubon's recommendations about moving this faster, as fast as possible. I've seen the city turn on a dime when it wanted to. I saw, was it Goodman got an okay for going up another 100 feet on a development? All he had to do was meet with Planning and Sustainability Bureau. So I think the city can really move if they want to. I understand defensibility. And I also know that, in terms of industrial lands, nobody mentioned anything when ballparks were talked about using industrial lands. So, that to me is a crock.
Just to be clear, we haven't approved that.
And I would like to thank Amanda Fritz for her help with the Bull Run issue. I was involved in that in the 80s, so thanks.
Yeah, it was great, huh?
Yeah. Good afternoon.
Hi, I'm Deanna Mueller-Crispin, live at 1221 Southwest 10th Avenue in Portland. I'm here today as a member of the Downtown Neighborhood Association Land Use and Transportation Committee, and am representing the DNA's position today. The Downtown Neighborhood Association strongly supports the mayor's resolution that the Bureau of Development Services, in cooperation with the other bureaus and so forth, establish a stakeholder engagement process to extend and evaluate Ordinance 187675. Obviously, we haven't had a chance to look at the most recent version, but it sounds like it's probably an improvement, at least, cross fingers. The Downtown Neighborhood Association would request to be notified when the stakeholder group or groups, whatever they may be, is being established. We'd very much like to be included in the process. Specifically, we approve recommendations from Planning and Sustainability Commission and Urban Forestry Commission to evaluate the effects of extending Title 11 requirements regarding preservation of certain trees in development situations, excluding some zoning that is especially CX from tree preservation requirements, and reducing the tree size threshold to cover smaller trees, which we support. As others have already mentioned, every bit of greenery contributes to the residents' physical and emotional health, especially in the downtown area that we represent, most of which is zoned CX. And this is despite the 15,000 plus people who live here, and of course the thousands of employees coming here daily, and the large amount of development going on downtown. So we hope that these things will be taken into good consideration in the process. And thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, we appreciate it. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioner Udaly and Commissioner Fritz. I'm Catherine Muschel, and I live in Southeast Portland, and I am speaking on behalf of Trees for Life, Oregon. Let me start by taking a minute to acknowledge Commissioner Fish's service. So we are here at this difficult moment for the city and for you, because the city urgently needs your leadership to defend the urban forest, and thank you very much for taking it so seriously over the holiday break. With political parties at an impasse and the earth rapidly calling in its debts, we are here to ask you as city leaders to revise your draft timeline, which you have done. We are asking you to follow the lead of the PSEF organizers to see the city itself as the entity that must address funding and act for the common good in the face of federal inaction and obfuscation. We need you to act now, because for so many people, there will be no other, better, greener, or cleaner space in which to make a life than the city itself. We are asking you that you shorten your draft timeline in four ways, and thank you for doing it. We want the code overhauled before the end of the year. Then we want a vote on three discrete code changes, and I understand the legal issues that were raised here today. We want a vote on reducing inch-for-inch in lieu fees from 36 inches to 20 inches because those 20-inch trees are going to be the trees of the future. And we want to vote on rescinding the exemption for mitigation fees and on revising tree density standards in commercial and industrial zones. And we very much appreciate the clarification today and how those zones would be dealt with. We know the federal government is still funding transportation infrastructure, especially something like the Division Street project. We hope for designs comparable to our central city transit mall with its street tree-lined streets. Think of the city without that transit mall. But we are also aware that fostering everyone's health and well-being by growing and maintaining green infrastructure, block by block and lot by lot, is up to us. It is up to you as our city leaders. We need you to stand with us and make the urban forest central to your decisions going forward in every bureau. Please revise the timelines, and we know you have done so with the sense of urgency that everyone in the city deserves. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, all three of you. Next three, please, Carla.
The next four would like to come up together.
That's fine.
Okay. It's Kaya Grumbles, Tessa Norris, Florence Oakley, and Tasia Graff.
And if somebody just wants to grab a chair from the corner there, you can slide it on up. Anywhere is fine. That's great. Thank you. Good afternoon. Thanks for being here. And the microphones slide around, so
okay.
You can share them however it works.
My name is Kaya Grumbles.
My name is Tessa Norris, and we wrote this with a fellow member, Tyler Yancey. We are here on behalf of Portland Youth Climate Council, otherwise known as PYCC. We would like to begin with a quote from one of our colleagues, Lila McLowry. A member of PYCC said the following at our last meeting regarding decision-making during this climate crisis, quote, "In a climate emergency, the environment must be valued over the economy. We have to act now to slow the Earth's climate crisis. This might mean that the economy suffers, but we have no other choice. If the economy has to suffer to save the entire planet, then we have to deal with that," end quote. This is one of the many reasons that PYCC supports removing the exemption status for industrial and commercial lands and commercial lands developers in the Portland Tree Code. We have to put the climate first. We would like to thank you for giving us the opportunity to make comments on the Portland Tree Code's draft resolution. We truly appreciate the changes that have already been made to the resolution and would like to follow up with some additional recommendations. Our recommendations are as follows.
Number one, PYCC would like to address the timeline that City Council has given for Tree Code. The city has set March 31st, 2020 to begin looking at removing industrial and commercial exemption from the Portland Tree Code. We will reluctantly accept this date. However, it is crucial that a vote on removing the exemption for industrial and commercial land developers should take place no later than June 8th, 2020. We also urge the city to provide more outreach to stakeholders directly impacted by the tree code. This is directed to the stakeholders whose health and well-being is most impacted by the lack of trees in their lives. In the current resolution, it is stated that the urban tree canopy requires protection and management for the health and safety of all people living in or visiting Portland. We want the city to provide a healthy atmosphere for all residents, and equal access to tree coverage is a crucial element that is needed in order to reduce heat islands and give equal access to a healthy and comfortable environment. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Tasia Graff.
And my name is Florence Oakley, and we are also here on behalf of Portland Youth Climate Council, or PYCC. We have three more recommendations for the draft of the Portland Tree Code resolution to add to our list. They are as follows. First, PYCC would like the council to vote on reducing critical tree size to 20 inches in diameter by September 1st, 2020. We believe this to be crucial. Waiting an entire year to address this is not acceptable or wise. The city's revised resolution dates for this are January and July of 2021. Although we don't want these trees cut at all, the higher mitigation fees would help pay for new trees, which sequester carbon, increase cooling effects, and help reduce the number of heat islands in the city of Portland.
For our next recommendation, we would like to revisit an issue PYCC brought up before. Until the industrial and commercial exemptions are voted on, PYCC would like a moratorium to ban industrial and commercial developers on cutting down more trees. This is especially relevant considering we are now acting during a climate emergency. Finally, we felt the need to add another whereas clause into the resolution to highlight the inequity of the Portland tree canopy. It goes as follows. Whereas all people living in or visiting Portland do not have equal access to the protection and benefits of the urban tree canopy, which impacts their ability to breathe healthy air, exercise, stay cool, and pursue happiness. These people include children, houseless, elderly, and those living in low-income areas. Be it further resolved that the city takes specific steps to meet with the most impacted communities in decisions made regarding tree preservation. We again would like to thank you for your time and this opportunity.
Thank you. We appreciate it. Thank you all for you. Commissioner Fritz.
Could you give me that language, please? Because I like the whereas clause of the meeting with stakeholders comes in the next process. So I think we've addressed, we're actually going to do the size of the tree quicker than you asked for, so I'm sure you're okay on that. The reason we chose, that the mayor chose July rather than June for coming back to council is because we're busy with the budget in June, and so we want to make sure that we have time and headspace to be able to, so it's July rather than June, I hope that's okay. Because if you could get me that language, I'll move that as an amendment when we're done with testimony.
Commissioner Daly.
And I would just like to say, as much as I love the idea of a moratorium, I did pursue that possibility and was told it's just simply not legally defensible, unfortunately. But I feel you on that.
Thanks for being here again.
Yes,
we appreciate
thank you.
It. Thank you.
Oh, and that certainly does not preclude you from letting the property owners and developers and companies that are pulling permits to take down trees know how you feel about that. And sorry I can't direct you to an easy place to get that information, but it is public record, and those permit requests go through BDS. So. If you want to talk to my office, I think maybe we can find out a more direct route to that information.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla.
Next three are Jan Zuckerman, Albert Kaufman, and Bob Solinger.
Good afternoon and welcome. Would you like to start, please?
Sure. Hi. I've changed my testimony many times based on what I've heard and listening to the youth also, but I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak, and I really want to thank the Portland Youth Climate Council for spending all year pushing this forward. I'm one of their mentors. Sadly, I have to say time is not on our side. Our summers are getting hotter, and Portland is rated one of the worst urban islands in the United States. We know that our western red cedars are dying. We've heard from about that with the drought, and there's a growing disparity between tree canopy and higher income and lower income neighborhoods in Portland. Trees are a life force. They perform functions that are vital to our very survival, and yet we treat them like a commodity or a nuisance when they get in our way. In our race to develop and make money, we have forgotten our connection to the natural world, and this has poisoned our souls and our minds and how we treat one another. It only takes a short walk in the woods to remind me that trees have intrinsic value separate from what I want and what I need. As a teacher, I have spent over 30 years connecting children with nature because I believe that when we develop a love for our natural world, our trees, we naturally take care of each other better because we understand that there's something greater than ourselves. It's not radical to expect industry and commercial landholders to pay for permits to remove trees when we are expected to do the same, but we must radically change the way we interact with trees. Understandably, there must be analysis and legal review to remove the exemptions, but waiting until July, right after the holiday, I understand about the budget now and appreciate that, but a decision after the holiday for a first proposal without a vote allows for many more trees to be cut down, and it is a big concern. And it's also difficult for youth to go find the developers and the, to try to stop them or talk to them. We have reached out to Schnitzer, and we've gotten no reply. So if you can help us lead the way with that, that would be great. But we feel like it isn't the youth's job to do that. You know, if this chamber were burning down right now or on fire, we wouldn't wait to put it out while we investigate how it started or what it would cost to put it out. We would just put it out first. It's because of this that I do agree with the youth that there needs to be some kind of hold while this decision is being made to stop industrial and developers from removing more trees in this critical time. In regards to the reduction of critical tree size from 36 to 20, it's mind-boggling to me that analysis and legal review needs to take a year and a half to complete without a date for the vote. Isn't protecting trees part of building our resilience to climate change?
Excuse me, we changed that. That's not coming back in July. Thank you very much for your testimony.
And just one other thing, I just wanted to say that Mayor Wheeler, you said you needed to double down, that we needed to double down in your proposal, and I think that we have to do that by getting to this sooner rather than later. And I really appreciate the work you're doing on this. Thank you.
Thanks for being here again. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Ugedaley. Thanks for having us testify today. First, I just want to offer my condolences on Commissioner Fish. We recognize this is a really painful time in City Hall and for the community at large, and also that it adds a lot of challenge to the workload as well. We really appreciate the work that's gone into this resolution. You know, you've been working hard on it, and we just read it in this hearing, but from my perspective, it is responsive to the community's concerns that have been raised, and we really appreciate your doing that. The timelines have been expedited significantly, and I think at this point, from Audubon's perspective, we consider this a reasonable approach and really appreciate all the energy that's gone into it.
Yeah.
We do have two technical suggestions, if you can make them, but we would definitely encourage you to finalize this today. Regardless, we feel like it's time to move forward and get the ball rolling in terms of doing the work. But the two technical issues that we would raise are, one, you've already heard on the industrial and commercial lands, it should the exemptions are both on preservation and density. And so it's important to make sure that both of those exemptions are addressed. The second is just a clarification. Your intent is pretty clear here, but when you say lowering the critical threshold from 36 to 20 inches, what you're talking about specifically there is inch-for-inch mitigation. You're lowering the threshold for inch-for-inch mitigation from 36 to 20 inches, and that's in the second whereas be it resolved. Again, I think it says what you mean to say, but those two things would make it clearer. Lastly, I would just note that I appreciate Joe Zender's testimony about Goal 9 in industrial lands, but I just want to remind folks that the exemptions were put in place in 2011 pending doing the comprehensive plan and the economic opportunities analysis, which were completed in 2015 and 2016. So in theory, the city has addressed those land issues through that process and should be ready to move forward. So I understand they need to loop back and look at that and make sure that everything's aligned, but that should have been taken care of through that process. That was the whole reason for those exemptions and the delay. So I hope that is true. I would note that we tend to get hung up on Goal 9 whenever there's an environmental issue in play, but we don't tend to get hung up on it that much when we're transforming industrial land for other purposes at the behest of industry. We don't tend to have that conversation at all. I tend to be the only one that comes to council and raises the issue. So it's when there's natural resource protections that are in play that we suddenly start to really worry about whether we have enough industrial land. We need to be more comprehensive in thinking about that, because we use up that capacity and then don't have enough time, space to protect our environment. So thank you again for your work on this. We support passage of it today.
Bob, are you referring to the bottom, the page 2 of 3? So it'd be the, there's the now, therefore it be resolved, then be it further resolved, then be it further. Is it the third one you're referring to? So it starts with concurrently with the first proposal?
Yes, concurrently with the first proposal. So if you go down to reduction of the critical tree size threshold from 36 to 20 inches. Just to clarify what you're, I think what you're trying to say is reduction of the critical tree size threshold for inch mitigation from 36 to 20 inches.
So, Mayor, I've got several amendments.
Very good.
In
okay, you've got that covered.
Heard. Yeah.
And, okay. Thank you. Commissioner Daly.
Bob, I'm going to attempt to explain why I think we can't immediately move forward with that analysis that was done in 2016. I'm going to look at Joe for a nod or a shake. This is my understanding. Because we can't dip down below that minimum level of industrial inventory, and if we consider removing the exemption as a constraint, which I think it's worth arguing that it's not, but that's how we're treating it right now, we now have to determine if this constraint would cause that dip, and that hasn't been done. That's what we have to do.
I agree with both parts of what you said, especially the first part, which I don't think it should be treated as a constraint. I think there's
either
a very strong
but
legal argument for not.
So.
But the second part, though, I do agree we need to loop back and look at that. But again, the city was supposed to take care of that through that process. So I hope that capacity that was supposedly created through that process still is there. If it's not, it's because we've converted industrial land and lost that capacity to do environmental protection.
No arguments from me.
Mm. Yeah. So just to clarify, you think we should vote on this today?
I would urge you to vote on it today. Mm-hmm. Again, just speaking just for Audubon, I feel like you have been responsive. I think the timelines are close enough, and I think you'll be good to move it forward. And
thank you. Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm Albert Kaufman. And I am speaking for myself, but I guess also somebody is speaking for the trees. We're speaking for the trees. I think I'm pretty much with everybody on voting on this today. Reducing the timelines certainly is what I'm hearing from all of my peers who care about trees, who aren't here today, and who have already submitted testimony. Australia is definitely coming to my mind right now, and the incredible disparity between what's actually happening there on the ground and what leadership is doing. I think there's a lot more that we can be doing beyond just the tree code as a city council, as a city. I think there's commentary that could be coming from the city to new residents about trees and how important they are to us. I think there's things like the curbsider. There's all sorts of information that comes from the city council that could come out via next door and in other ways that could be guiding Portlanders to be more aware of the value of trees. I've been working on the leaf blower issue, and you guys all decided to make an amendment and have the city stop using gas-powered leaf blowers. Well, before that even came before you, a lot of us have been working in the city to try to educate our fellow Portlanders about the issue. And I think from the time I started pushing on that issue, which was about 4 years ago, until now, I wake up in the morning and I wake up more frequently not hearing gas-powered leaf blowers anymore. And it's partly my work and other citizens around town, but it's also partly a wave that's happening. And I think that the city can really help in this case, not just by working on Title 11, but also sending word out to the city and its residents that trees are important. So I think This is all beautiful. I'm excited to work within the system and have things actually move at the pace of a tree growing. The Title 11 is moving forward. So, you know, not super excited by that pace, but I do think there's other things that the city could be doing as well to try to get the word out to people beyond just doing this work. So I would appreciate hearing your messages. You can all dress up as Loraxes and talk about that because, you know, obviously this type of effort takes a little bit longer. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Albert.
Maybe that's something the youth would work with you on, making that video.
Oh, I thought you meant the Lorax costumes.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
I want to sympathize with you, Albert. We are definitely moving at different geological speeds.
Yeah.
Inside City Hall and outside.
Right, and the climate is unfortunately
faster
working at its speed.
Us, yeah.
So let's catch up.
Thank you.
Next three, please, Carla.
Are Don Smallman, Ted Laby, and a gentleman who wanted to speak that didn't get to sign up.
From the Youth Council.
Come on up.
Was there a young man from the Youth Council who wanted to speak?
Do you still want to speak? I don't have his name. You don't want to speak? Okay. All right.
Okay. Thanks, Simon. Good afternoon.
Hi, my name is Dawn Smallman. Thank you very much for allowing public testimony today, and I'm really appreciative of you taking feedback from the community and moving the dates forward in responsiveness to that feedback that you got. I threw half my notes out when I walked in the door and saw the revised resolution, and that felt really good to be able to know that you're being so responsive over the holiday and all that. I appreciate it. I would like to echo the Portland Youth Climate Council suggestions about the additional equity language. I was really glad to see that some equity language was put into the most recent draft. I think that's very important. I would like to also urge you to start using the phrase best available science in your language. Best available science should be used in every single environmental policy resolution, proposal, comment that this city puts out, because what it does is it obligates you to take the politics out of it. It obligates you to take the donors out of it. It obligates you to take questions about who's donating to whose campaigns or any of those kind of issues that we've heard presented today out of it. Best available science obligates you to be dealing with climate issues and environmental issues the way we all need to deal with them now, based on the best available science. So thank you for considering adding that language in today. I think that language is going to become extremely important when we get to the comprehensive Title 11 code review and revision. I'd like to urge you to vote today, not in February. I'd like to also urge you to add a voting date in, not just the proposal for people to return back and tell you the plan for removing the exemptions on commercial and industrial and other zoned properties, but I'd like to ask you to actually add a date in. I'm doing a quick reading of this. If the date's in there, please let me know I'm wrong. I'd love to hear that.
So that's the intent, that when they come back on July 7th, there will be a
vote. We will be a vote? Okay, fantastic. I appreciate that. I'm also disappointed to hear that a moratorium is not defensible. I would hate to see this whole thing get tied up in some kind of legal issue, so I understand you're not putting it in there today, but at some point, maybe in a less critical, smaller resolution, it would be worth testing that legally.
I floated that idea.
I'd also like to make a comment and echo a comment about the stakeholders. We often talk about stakeholders, and I think it's really true that if you control the process, you control the outcome. I've been involved for decades plus in these processes with the city as somebody on the citizen side, and I really believe that you can control the process to control the outcome. And a lot of that is who those stakeholders are who sit at the table. When it comes time to say who these stakeholders are, I hope we'll include that equity mission as a huge part of the stakeholders who get involved. I also want to say that while I was part of a group of people trying to save the largest three redwoods that existed in the city, one of the stakeholders who sat on the Urban Forestry Commission at that time was the actual developer who wanted to cut them down and held the neighborhood hostage to sell the land back at a huge increase in price in order to save the trees. Vic Remmers, that's right, Everett Custom Homes, was the stakeholder who sat on the Urban Forestry Commission at that time. So we need to, or sat, advised the Urban Forestry Commission at that time. I see you nodding no.
I think he was I think that's incorrect. That's okay. Keep going.
Okay. So I want to say that when you're choosing the stakeholders, I echo the comment that the economy has to take a second seat to the environment right now. And so I think when you're choosing stakeholders, and it's going to invariably come around to choosing arborists, maybe what we need to be looking for is the arborist voices who are the most conservation-based arborists, not the ones that make the most money from cutting the most of the canopy in our city. Thank you. I appreciate everything you're doing, and I look forward to this vote passing today.
Very good. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Council, thank you for your service, and thanks for finally addressing these outstanding concerns with the tree code. I very much appreciate it. I was a little dismayed with the original versions of the resolution that talked about a longer time frame. I also feel like I can live with 6 months for both issues kind of returning to council, and so I thank you for being responsive to the huge outpouring of requests around that. So that gives me hope that we still have a council that is responsive to the people. I just want to pick up on a couple earlier themes and finish today with a historical note. I think anytime you have a city attorney tell you you cannot implement a moratorium on tree cutting, you need to kind of push back a little on that. So I would encourage you to take a second look at that. I think the Youth Coalition has made a wonderful suggestion. There's some urgency here. There's going to be a lot of trees coming down in our industrial and commercial lands in the next 6 months. This is a stopgap measure. So please take a second look at that as an option. Bruce earlier talked about trees as joy, and I love that. But I also want to say that trees are not just an amenity. I serve on the Portland Utility Board. We need to start thinking about trees as essential public infrastructure that we make investments in, that the city helps homeowners, property owners manage actively, both in the right-of-way and on city properties. I sort of understand Joe Zender's explanation. I don't understand why it has to take so long, given what Bob spoke to earlier. So I would encourage you to vote on it today. I think you heard public testimony before Christmas around extension of the sunset. That's when I put my comments in. I think there's been ample opportunity for the public to comment. There's going to be more opportunity for the public to be engaged going forward, so I would urge you to vote today. So I want to finish up with a historical perspective. I did this work a couple years ago with the tree historian of Portland, Dave Hedberg, Angie DeSalva, who works for Urban Forestry, and Jim Gersbach before he left for Urban Forestry. We looked back at street tree inventories the city had from 1938, 1976, and the most recent work that Angie did. And it's really interesting. It tells an interesting story. When I get impatient about updating the tree code, I go to history because it tells me, okay, sometimes things take a while. But it's very interesting. I'm going to leave this with you. You can look at it later. Basically, it shows that, yes, we have more stocking of trees in the city now than we ever have before. We have greater diversity of trees, species, and families than ever before. But what it shows also is that we're losing large-form trees citywide. So increasingly, people, when we fell a large or medium-form tree, we're planting small trees. And so this, I think, should add urgency to the big look at the tree code and how we're incentivizing tree planting, tree maintenance in the city. I've used my time, so I'm going to leave this with you to look at it just if you're interested in history, tree history.
Could you just put your name into the record, please?
Sorry?
Put your name into the record.
Oh, I never did that. Ted Labby. I'm with the Urban Green Spaces Institute. Thank you. I live in Portland.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks, both of you. Thank you. Carla, does that complete public testimony?
That's all who signed up.
Yeah,
very good. Commissioner Fritz?
Mayor, I've been compiling amendments that have been requested, and so what I'd like to do is to just run through them all. If anybody wants to pull any of them out, to vote on separately, but otherwise we could spare Carla and just vote on them as a package. I do think it's really important for us to do this today to show that there's urgency to this. We did have hearings before Christmas. We've been talking about this for a long time, and we want the staff to get going on bringing something back in July when there'll be more time to do things.
So it was my understanding that we weren't going to vote today, although I do not understand why we weren't going to vote today, and I would like to vote. I really want to kind of celebrate this moment in chambers with many of the advocates who are here, but we have gotten a request from Commissioner Hardesty to hold off the vote, so I'm very torn. I mean, could we come back next week, given that we have all these amendments, or?
These are just in response to testimony.
Yeah.
These people have already come twice, three times.
I'm not gonna belabor the issue. I just wanted to make that statement.
Yeah.
What is the preference of my colleagues?
Well, let me make my amendments, and then you can see if there's anything that's controversial. The first one is in response to the youth, to add the whereas all people living in or visiting Portland do not have equal access to the protection and benefits of the urban tree canopy, which impacts their ability to breathe healthy air, exercise, stay cool, and pursue happiness. These people include children, houseless, elderly, and those living in low-income areas.
I second that.
Thank you. The second one is, and now be it resolved, that the Bureau of Development Services, in coordination with Portland Parks and Recreation and Planning Sustainability, shall conduct stakeholder engagement analysis and develop proposals that address tree preservation in development situations based on best available science.
I will second that as well, and I will also say I've grown to kind of hate the term stakeholder. Maybe we could come up with something.
Yeah.
Not for this, but for this it's fine.
Okay.
Yes.
I share your concern.
Yes.
The next is, and be it further resolved underneath that, to say that the bureaus shall conduct technical analysis and coordinate legal review to develop an analysis that addresses the exemption from preservation and density regulations in the zone specified.
Second.
The next is the next resolved. Be it further resolved that the Bureau shall prepare a proposal including evaluating reduction of critical tree size for inch mitigation from 36 inches to 20 inches.
Second.
Thank you. Then this next one is again in response to the youth, in the be it further resolved that, it's the second be it further resolved down on page 3, BDS and Portland Parks and Recreation shall bring a scope for council review no later than December 7th, 2020. The scope shall include specific steps to include the most impacted communities in decisions regarding tree preservation.
Second.
And then the final one was not heard in testimony, but I realized that we are supposed to say whether resolutions are binding city policy or not binding city policy. So the last amendment is, be it further resolved that the directives in this resolution are binding city policy.
Second.
So could we do this? Could we take a 2-minute recess? And I just want to confirm with staff, but I believe I can support each of those amendments wholeheartedly. We'll take a 3-minute recess, please.
Go to the bathroom.